الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. All praises due to Allah and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. In our continuation in discussing the Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah لشيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله والشرح في شيخ محمد بن صالح بن عثيمين رحم الله جميع العلماء والمسلمين. We continue in our discussion on the names and attributes of Allah. What do Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what do they believe concerning Allah's names and attributes? The reason why this is important, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that this ummah will divide into 73 sects, 73 groups, all of which will enter the hellfire, except one. And the one which will be saved from the hellfire is the one which is upon the same belief and the same conduct and the same way of life as that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions during the time he prophesied this particular event. And we know for a fact what they believed concerning Allah's names and attributes, because the Quran is clear in its indications of what Allah Azza wa Jal, who Allah is. And never ever did the Sahaba or even those who came after them have a discussion concerning any metaphorical or figurative understanding of these names and attributes. This was something that they never discussed because it was not part of their belief. They were not philosophers, they were believers. Allah said in the Quran, He has a face, كل من عليها فان ويبقى لا يبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. Everything upon earth will perish and the face of your Lord will remain full of glory and honor. Allah said وجه, face. No one came and said among the Sahaba, or the Prophet ﷺ never told them, it doesn't really mean face, it means, you know, it means honor. He never gave another explanation to the apparent meaning of the text. Neither did the Sahaba ever discuss otherwise. So when Allah said, وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ, the face of your Lord, and in the Arabic language you know what the word وَجْه means, then you must accept it as is. Now the problem with the Muslims is that they think that they're trying to glorify Allah and raise Him above any imperfection and similarities to humans. So they say, no, you cannot say Allah has a face because we humans have face. This is the philosophy. We humans have face. Allah has a face, so that means that no way that Allah has a face. Say, listen. Do you have a life? Say, I have a life. Does Allah have a life? Sure. Is your life like that of Allah's? No. Same thing. Then Allah has a face that is not like yours. Do you hear? Yes. Does Allah hear? Yes. Is your hearing like that of Allah's? No. Same thing. The same. Otherwise, if you want to use this philosophy, that because we have a face and Allah has a face, that means Allah does not have a face, then you can know, then according to you, Allah doesn't have a life because we have a life, He doesn't hear because we hear, He doesn't see because we see, then you don't have a God anymore. You don't have an object of worship. You see now, this is the foundation, I'm saying this for the newcomers, this is the foundation of these classes. So we will understand who Allah is according to the way He described Himself, the way the Prophet ﷺ described Him, while believing that there's nothing like Allah. We don't have an image, we don't try to create an image of God because it's inconceivable. Allah is so great, it's inconceivable. You go to Jannah, you'll see Allah in Jannah. That's what we know. And this is what we were dealing in the last chapters actually. We had dealt in the previous chapters with رؤيت المؤمنين ربهم يوم القيامة, the believers seeing Allah on the day of reckoning, in the day of resurrection. Today inshallah we will be dealing with the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the punishment of the grave and the delight of the grave. قوله فيؤمنون بفتنة القبر وبعذاب القبر ونعيمه. أهل السنة والجماعة, they believe in the fitna, the trials of the grave, وبعذاب القبر. عذاب is what? Pleasure? Punishment. ونعيمه نعيم. What is نعيم? Delight. Pleasure. جنات النعيم. As it comes in many different ayat in the book of Allah تبارك وتعالى. Now, the one who said this is Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah. Now, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen will elaborate and explain. الفتنة هنا الاختبار. والمراد بفتنة القبر سؤال الميت إذا دفن عن ربه ودينه ونبيه. فتنة, by the way, is a very common word that you hear in Islam, and it has multiple meanings depending on the context. Like many different words in the English language, you say form. Form can mean to form something as a verb, and it could be an application form which you fill out, and it could be a number of things depending on the context. Fitna has multiple meanings as well. One of which, the one that is intended here, is a test. It's a trial, meaning it's a test. You're being tested. You're being put to the test. والمراد بفتنة القبر, what exactly is intended by the trial or the test of the grave is the questioning of the deceased concerning his Lord, alaykum salam, his religion and his prophet. The fact that the dead person, after being placed in the grave, then he is asked by two angels. Who knows their name?
Munkar
and Nakir. Good. They will ask him, who is your Lord, what is your religion, and what do you say concerning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Of course, the believer will answer in the affirmative, and the disbeliever and the one who was playing games in this deen, who didn't take Allah's commands and prohibitions seriously, he will say, he won't be able to answer. Even though now, you ask anyone, he may give you an answer immediately. But see, this idea of being given firmness, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. This ayah, many of the ulama interpreted as following, that Allah gives firmness, He gives them firmness, those who believe, in this life and in the life to come. And they say in this life by saying, La ilaha illallah. And the life to come, meaning in the grave, by being able to answer. وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ, and Allah will deliberately lead astray the wrongdoers. وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. If anyone has a problem, then Allah says He does what He wills. Just in case somebody got big-headed. So Allah's putting him right in their place. وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Why, if you're complaining, why were you a wrongdoer? Allah gave you, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. Allah gave you both paths. One which leads to paradise, alaykum salam, and one which leads to hellfire. And he told you to travel upon the one which leads to paradise. And he facilitated everything for you. Sent revelations and messengers. Gave you the fitrah, the natural disposition. The Quran, the sunnah. All these are means of guidance. If someone turns away from all of these and still travels on the wrong path, then he can't complain on the day of judgment or when Allah questions him concerning why he was led astray. Because this is something that someone earns with his own hands. على كل حال, these are the three questions then. والضمير في يؤمنون يعود على أهل السنة. Now, linguistically, the sentence began by saying فيؤمنون. يؤمنون, is it a singular or a plural verb?
Plural.
Why is it a plural? How do we know that's a plural? The wa. And you, the noon also, but not necessarily, because you may have يؤمنوا أو يا أيها الذين آمنوا without the noon. So here actually the grammar, some of the words in grammar will keep the noon, and some of them it will be omitted depending on other like prefixes and suffixes and other things which affect the sentence. على كل حال, is it a present tense or a past tense or a future tense? Present tense. How do you know that? Because of the ya in the beginning. Qara'a, he read. Yaqra'u, he reads. Present. Sayaqra'u, he will read. Either sa yaqra'u or sawfa yaqra'u. Both indicate the future with a slight difference in terms of the time frame. سوف is usually a longer duration, whereas seen is for the something which is كلا سيعلمون ثم كلا سيعلمون. Verily they shall come to know. They shall come to know. Not yet. It's in the future. على كل حال, these are just extra benefits. So the ضمير here, the pronoun is referring to the believers. When we say يؤمنون, the أهل السنة عفوا. فيؤمنون meaning أهل السنة believe. أي أن أهل السنة والجماعة يؤمنون بفتنة القبر وذلك لدلالة الكتاب والسنة عليها. So أهل السنة والجماعة believe in this trial of the grave because the Quran and the Sunnah clearly indicated. You'll be shocked to believe that there are Muslims who don't, who deny it, the whole way. They don't believe in such things as the grave and the punishment in the grave. And what is the evidence? The evidence is what? The evidence is worldly limitations. Yani, they say, okay, you claim that someone is burning now, open the grave. All I see is bones. So where's the fitna of the qabr you're speaking about? See this nonsense? So because they're unable to see something, that makes them deny it. And with the same rationale, we say, you don't really believe in Allah. Do you see Allah? No. You believe in Him? Yes. So what's wrong with that? You don't have to see something to believe it. Plus, this is a stage after the stage of the worldly life. And the affairs of that life is not like those of this one. So you can't measure now according to the barzakh, and you cannot measure the barzakh according to Yawm al-Qiyamah, because every life, every stage has different physical rulings, physical law. They're not the same. That's why on Yawm al-Qiyamah people stand for 50,000 years waiting for the judgment of Allah. Like I said, how long are they going to stand? 50,000 years. And the sun will be right over their head, the distance of a mile, which could either mean the mile, you know, as in kilometers and miles, or it could mean the tip of the makeup mascara that the woman put on their eyelashes. That little tiny little thing. You know the kuhul? You know that little stick? That's the mile. That's the meal in the language, one of the meanings. So the sun will be right over their head for 50,000 years. Can anyone survive in this dunya? You get a sunstroke and the sun is all the way, Allah knows where, and you know you're wearing already lotion and sunscreen or whatever, and you still get a sunstroke, you may faint and die. But people will be able to handle it يوم القيامة. Why? The affairs of the life to come are not like this one. So we use the same say, listen, the same way you realize life to come is not like this dunya, this barzakh is already a stage after the worldly life. So don't compare it. You don't have to see anything to believe in it. على كل حال, the kitab, okay. وأما الكتاب ففي قوله تعالى يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت عجيب في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. The ayah which was quoted earlier, Surah Ibrahim, ayah number 27, that Allah Azza wa Jal gives firmness to those who believe with the firm statement in this life, in this worldly life, and وفي الآخرة, and in the life to come. فإن هذا في فتنة القبر. The Shaykh said this is concerning the trial of the grave. كما ثبت في الصحيحين وغيرهما من حديث البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. As it has been affirmed in the two Sahihs, which are the Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari, from the hadith of Bara ibn Azib رضي الله عنه, about from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the hadith of Bara is a famous hadith, a long hadith, which actually explains the affair of the believer and the disbeliever at the time of death. From the moment the angels come and they extract the soul out, and then they will shroud it with the shroud of musk for the believer, and for stinky, you know, shroud for the disbeliever, and they will take it up to the heaven. And then for the believer, the heavens will open and they will go to the seventh heaven, that Allah Azza wa Jal will send them down, and He will say, you know, write the book of my slave, the Illiyin. You read in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, right? And as for the disbeliever, when they make it to the first heaven, they will not be able to go through. Say, what is this? Who's this evil soul, this evil smell? They will say, Fulan such, Fulan, say, no, not here. Send them back down. So you'll be thrown back down to the grave, and then from that moment on, it's not going to be any picnic for the person in the grave. It's going to be punishment upon punishment until Yawm al-Qiyamah for further punishment. So this is the famous hadith of Bara ibn Azib. You may read it in Bukhari and Muslim, and you can see the detail of it. Wallahu al-musta'an. The Shaykh said, وأما السنة فقد تضافرت بأن الإنسان يفتن في قبره وهي فتنة قال فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه قد أوحي إلي أنكم تفتنون في قبوركم مثل أو قريبا من فتنة الدجال. As for the Sunnah, then we have abundant evidences alluding to the concept of the punishment in the grave or the trial of the grave. One of them is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, verily it has been revealed unto me that you will be tried, you will go through trials in the grave similar to the fitna of Dajjal. And we know that among the greatest fitan is fitnatul Masih al-Dajjal. This is besides the current fitna of women. Because the current fitna is not the Dajjal. The Dajjal will eventually come, then he will be a fitna. Now the biggest, among the biggest fitan is وَمَا تَرَكْتُ فِتْنَةً أَشَدُّ عَلَى الرِّجَالَ وَضَرَ عَلَى الرِّجَالَ بَعْدِي مِنَ النِّسَاءَ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I did not leave behind me a fitna more severe and harmful upon men than women. And nowadays women are not really helping out. Not at Danub, not at Raya, and not a panda. Anywhere you go, same. You know, the hijab is going away slowly but surely. So this is why we Muslims who practice this deen must take care of our wives, our daughters. We cannot afford to have them look in this fashion. We are responsible before Allah. If one of us has a daughter that's wearing a jilbab that has a heart on her back, a heart for the sake of Allah, a heart. What does a heart mean? What does heart mean? What usually when someone has a heart and you know, the Cupid, what does it mean? Love. It's love. So if you're wearing a hijab that says, love me, what hijab is that? What is the benefit of the hijab? This is nonsense. Or any of the other fashioned, you know, adorned, big old sleeves and colorful flowers and you know, diamonds and I don't know, this sprinkly stuff and all this glittering stuff. This is not jilbab. This is not the dress code of a Muslim woman. This is a dress code of a lady in the fashion show, you know, business. A model. But because they cannot wear jeans and things, because the culture has hijab, so they put all their design and all their decoration in the very jilbab. That defeats the purpose. So we have to make sure that our women folks are dressed modestly. They look, they are covered up in public. At home, wear whatever you like. You're not going to tell your daughter at home, put on your hijab. Or your wife at home, put on your hijab. But when she goes outside, there's no business for other men to be. And men look. Men look. Oh, the mutawwir and the not mutawwir, because it's a fitna. It's a fitna, and for you to struggle and fight, it takes a lot of iman. For someone to be able to contain themselves and hold themselves and look away all the time, wallah, it takes strong iman. So how many people are walking around with strong iman? Not that many. So we don't want to make things worse. You will gain the sin. Every time someone looks at your wife and she has high heels and they can see her foot, you will gain the sin of everyone who gets to look at her. Because this is not allowed. Covering the feet is an obligation on Muslim women, as opposed to what many people think. Right? So nothing. If you follow the position that showing the face and the hands is fine, that's fine. Because that is a valid opinion of the majority of the ulama, to be honest with you. That showing the face and the hands is fine. But the feet, no scholar, as far as I know, has allowed it. Because of the famous hadith of Ummu Salama, when he spoke up to the men, Prophet ﷺ said that whoever drags, whoever below the ankles from your lower garment will be in the hellfire. So Ummu Salama said, Ya Rasulullah, مَا تَفْعَلُ النِّسَاءُ بِذُيُولِهِنْ. What are women supposed to do concerning the garment which hangs below? He said, no, this is not for you. This is not for the men. Not for the women. This is for the men. For the women, he said, that يُرْخِينَ شِبْرًا. Let them extend their garment below their ankles a hand's width. She said, their feet will show. If we only give it one hand's width, huh? Below the ankle of the woman, she said, our feet will show. He said, then an arm's length, but nothing beyond that. So a woman is supposed to have her garment dragging below her ankle, from your elbow to your hand. As if she drags it longer, more beautiful. If that long. But the least, if she doesn't want to go that long, the least, her feet cannot show. Her feet cannot show. So if she wears some shoes that are not a fitna themselves, you know, like today, phosphor and silver shoes, and you think she's an alien that just came from some other planet, you know? So when you wonder what's going on, if you don't see her feet, she's wearing black socks that don't show her the figure of her foot, alhamdulillah. The actual garment may be above, as long as the skin and the form of the leg is not showing. Are we on the same page? So inshallah, if you don't have children, when you do have children, you know what to do. Tayyib. So close to the fitna of Dajjal. This will happen where? In the grave. That's a lot of fitna. A lot of fitna. وَفِتْنَةُ الدَّجَّالِ أَعْظَمْ فِتْنَةً مُنْذُ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمِ الْأَنْتَقُمَ السَّاعَةِ. The fitna of the Dajjal is the greatest fitna from the time Allah created Adam until the hour is established. The greatest fitna upon people will be the fitna of the Dajjal. Because he will do things that only Allah does. He will tell the skies to rain, he will rain. He will bring someone, he will cut him, he will kill him, and then he will tell him to come back to life, and the guy will, his head will get right back on his neck, and he will come back and talk to him. And he will just do wonders. So that the people who are not firm in the deen will follow him. Those who are munafiq, the munafiqeen, they will follow him. Probably the first on the list will be the Shia. If they remain until that time, these are the kind of people who will usually follow something of this nature, because they already believe in this, you know, deifying Ali and Al-Hassan, Al-Hussein and Fatima and so on and so forth. ولكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في صحيح مسلم عن عمران بن حسين رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما بين خلق آدم إلى قيام الساعة أمر أكبر من الدجال. He said, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, between the creation of Adam and the day of resurrection and the establishment of the hour, there isn't anything greater than the Dajjal in terms of the fitna. ولكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لأصحابه بل قال لأمتي إن يخرج وأنا فيكم فأنا حجيجه دونكم وإن يخرج ولست فيكم فامرؤ حجيج نفسه والله خليفتي على كل مسلم. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to his Sahaba, rather he said to his Ummah, if he comes out while I'm amongst you, then I will be your protector from him. I will protect you from him by Allah's will. And if he comes out while I'm gone, then each one is responsible for himself. However, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who will take care of every Muslim after me. Provided that you're a Muslim, submitting to Allah all the way, Allah Azza wa Jal will protect you from the fitna of the Dajjal. وَمَعْ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ نَبِيَّنَا مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَعْلَمَنَا كَيْفَ نُحَاجِّهِ أو نحاجه وأعلمنا بأوصافه وميزاته حتى كأننا نشاهده رأي العين وبهذه الأوصاف والميزات نستطيع أن نحاجه أو نحاجه. He said, along with that, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught us how to actually debate with him, how to establish the proof against him. لما تحاجون في إبراهيم. المحاجه is to actually have a dialogue or some sort of debate where each person is trying to prove that he is upon the truth and the other one is being erroneous. So the Shaykh said, Prophet ﷺ, he taught us his description, his qualities, as if we can see him with our own eyes, the way he would look. And you know, he will be awar, he will be one-eyed, and the other eye will be like a grape floating. His other eye will be like a grape, like a floating grape. This is what Prophet ﷺ described, how he described Al-Masih al-Dajjal, as if we can see him in front of us. And so don't believe in the emails that you receive every other day. right? Because I've received it maybe 20 times right now. Some boy who was born in Israel, you know, some, you know, then they have this weird picture of him and one eye in the middle and whatever, whatever they say. This is the Dajjal. No, Rasulullah said he will be awar, meaning he will have two eyes and one of them is gone, floating like a grape. Either way, the Masih al-Dajjal, the first time you know about him is not through email. Okay? It's not going to be any something that will be so trivial. Wallah, is just sitting there that through email. Oh, the Dajjal is here. Okay guys, lock the door. And who has Surah Al-Kahf memorized? The first 10 ayat and the first last. No, it's not. It's going to be fitna. When he comes out, it's going to be fitna. It's going to be among the signs of the Yawm Al-Qiyamah. You're not going to be sitting there having cheesecake and getting an email saying, oh, the Dajjal is out. You guys, we know, we better get our act together. It's not going to be like that. There'll be major fitna, we will know. When he comes, we will know. The Muslims will know. We ask Allah to protect us. If you die before he comes, you've been protected. طيب ولهذا نقول إن فتنة الدجال أعظم فتنة والرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قال إنكم تفتنون في قبوركم مثل أو قريبا من فتنة الدجال. So even though we understand that the fitna of the Dajjal is among the greatest fitan, still Prophet ﷺ said you will be tested in your grave in a similar manner, fitna at the same gravity and magnitude as that of the Dajjal. That means that the fitna in the grave is not easy either. وما أعظمها من فتنة. The Shaykh said, how great it is of a fitna. لأن الإنسان يتلقى فيها السؤال الذي لا يمكن الجواب عليه إلا على أساس متين من العقيدة والعمل الصالح. He said, because the person will be questioned, he will be asked a question which he will not be able to answer unless he was upon firm belief, firm aqidah, and righteous deeds. Not anyone will be able to answer him. This is the point here. We know the answer now. You or I, we may not be able to say this in the grave had we not been acting upon Allah being our Rabb and Islam being our deen and the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ being our Prophet. And what do these things mean? That means that we worship none but Allah. No graves, no wali, no Ali, and nothing else of this matter. Only Allah. Ibadah is for Allah alone. Salah is for Allah alone. Dua is for Allah alone. Sacrifice is for Allah alone. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My prayer, my sacrifice, my living and my dying are for Allah. That's Tawheed. And knowing Islam means Islam governs your life. You don't govern Islam according to what you like. Then this is here the technical issue here. This is where we have our problem. Our problem is we customize Islam like a thawb. Okay? Depending on my weight, on my waist, and the length of my arms, I want Islam to be customized according to me. That is not accepting Islam as a religion. That's picking and choosing from Islam. Accepting Islam as your deen, meaning Islam has a size which you need to customize yourself to. Yani if the size of Islam is very thin and you're, mashallah, you got some weight, you have to lose weight. And if you're very thin and Islam is a huge size, you need to grow in to fit into the thawb. See how it works? I'm not trying to pick on the skinny or the people, it's all the same. That's why I gave both examples, don't get me wrong. The idea is, we need to change ourselves to fit into Islam. We don't change Islam to fit into us. Because we like this and we don't like that. This ruling is fine, that ruling is not really good for me. This one is not a part of my style, brother. You know, my style is most important thing at work. People look at me, I'm a stylish man, I dress this way. And this particular teaching of Islam kind of conflicts with my style. So barakallahu feek, I'm not going to act upon it. I know, but I don't know. If you know, then how come you don't know? And if you know, why aren't you acting upon this? It's amazing stuff. But that is what's happening. We want to customize it. You know, everything according to the way we like. It's the other way around. Until we sub. That's what Islam means. Submission to Allah. You just imagine yourself with a policeman. And a gun to your head. And you have your hands raised. You're surrendering. That's Islam. surrender. You don't play games. Say, ah. Or, you know, you duck every few seconds and you try to hide and you go beyond the car, behind the car, and under the car. No. You surrender all the way. He says, go to the right, you go to the right. Go to the left, you go to the left. You don't play games with surrendering. That's Islam. How many of us are acting upon it? Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. طيب قوله فأما الفتنة فإن الناس يفتنون في قبورهم. As for the fitna, then verily people will be tested and will be tested in their graves. هذا شروع في بيان كيفية فتنة الميت في قبره. This is now the initiation of the explanation of how the person will be tested in the grave, the actual events. وكلمة الناس عامة. The term that Sheikh Islam Taymiyyah used, ناس, people, is general. وظاهر كلام المؤلف رحمه الله أن كل أحد. And the general understanding is that this encompasses everyone. حتى الأنبياء والصديقون والشهداء والمرابطون وغير المكلفين من الصغار والمجانين. وفي هذا تفصيل. Now, when Sheikh Islam says people will be tested in the grave, then the term people includes prophets, it includes the martyrs, it includes the mujahideen, it includes the youngsters who died at a young age before reaching puberty, it includes the crazy, the insane, even though we have, you know, some different rulings concerning these. So the Shaykh said, but there's further breakdown for this. We will detail it. فنقول أولا أما الأنبياء فلا تشملهم الفتنة ولا يسألون. As for the prophets, the fitna will not include them, and they will not be asked. The fitna will not include them, and they will not be asked. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. It's gonna be a 5 riyal charge for every coffee, ya Muhammad. الأول أن الأنبياء أفضل من الشهداء. Why? First, أفوان. Hey, the أنبياء will not be. They will not be tried. They will not be exposed to this trial, and they will not be questioned either. Why? First, who is better, the prophets or the martyrs? The prophets are better than the martyrs. وقد أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الشهيد يوقى فتنة القبر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has said that the shaheed, he will be protected from the fitna of the qabr. Yeah. So the one who dies for the sake of Allah, he will not be asked. He is protected. So if the shaheed is protected and the prophet is better than him, then by default the prophet will not be asked. وقال كفى ببارق السيوف على رأس فتنة أخرجه الناس. The Prophet ﷺ said sufficient for the shaheed as a fitna is the swords, you know, flying over his head. For him to be even asked again is, you know, too much for him. The fact that he has to see swords going over his head, this is fitna enough for him. So when he dies for the sake of Allah, he will not be asked. No fitna for him. الثاني أن الأنبياء يسأل عنهم فيقال الميت من نبيك. Secondly, the prophets will be asked about. The person will be said, it will be said to the person, who is your prophet? فهم مسؤولون عنهم. So they are the ones being asked about. What are they going to ask the prophet? Who's your prophet? He is the prophet. وليسوا مسؤولين. You get it? They will not be asked. ولهذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه أوحي إليكم أنكم تفتنون في قبوركم والخطاب للأمة المرسل إليهم فلا يكون الرسول داخلا فيهم. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, it was revealed to me that you will be tested in your grave. So here the Prophet is the one speaking. He's addressing the Ummah, meaning they are the one included in this speech. The messenger himself is not included, because he's the one who will be asked about, whom they will be asked about. ثانيا, secondly, وأما الصديقون فلا يسألون لأن مرتبة الصديقين أعلى من مرتبة الشهداء. جميل. As for the صديقين, like, who can enumerate some? Abu Bakr. Huh? That's it? Allahu Akbar.
Aisha.
As-Siddiqa bintu Siddiq. There's one more. There's one more. Maryam. Maryam bint Imran. These are the three which we have. They actually have that title given to them. على كل حال. But the Shaykh said the Siddiq is at a level higher than the Shaheed. Who knows the evidence for that? Allah musta'an. Ya da'wah people. Ya da'wah da'wah. What da'wah if you don't know this ayah? What's the evidence that the Siddiq is higher, a degree higher and above the Shaheed? Anyone? وَمَنْ يُطِعْ You know? وَمَنْ يُطِعْ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. This is the ayah which explains al-Fatiha. I believe this is Surah An-Nisa, ayah 100. والله أعلم. I usually don't remember the exact ayat. I'm not Zakir Naik, but that's besides the point. Whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, he will be in the company of those among the prophets and the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada and the Salihin. So they were mentioned in order of importance. In order of importance. The prophets first, Siddiqeen second, Shuhada third, Salihin fourth. Because of the sequence, the scholars have understood it in this particular fashion. على كل حال. فإذا كان الشهداء يسألون لا يسألون فالصديقون من باب أولى. Similarly, if the شهداء will not be questioned, then the صديقون will also not be questioned. With the same analogy with the prophets. فالصديقون من باب أولى لأن الصديق على وصفه مصدق وصادق. And anyways, why was he called صديق? From the word what? وتواسوا بالحق وبالصبر. The صبر. Who can give us an ayah which has صدق? Give me an ayah which has the word صدق and its different derivatives. It doesn't have to be the صاد دال قاف. Anything. ها ما في حافظ موجود الحافظ. يلا يا شيخ. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. ها what's the other ayah? صدق الله. What is it? قل صدق الله. قل صدق الله. And of course it doesn't mean that you say صدق الله العظيم when you finish reciting the Quran. That is a bid'ah. That is a bid'ah. Inshallah you hear every qari and the biggest Muslim ummah on إذاعة القرآن الكريم saying صدق الله العظيم after this the recitation, this remains a bid'ah. Why? Anything which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have done yet did not do and his sahaba did not do and he never seen someone do it and he approved it, this means this was not part of the deen then, you cannot make it part of the deen today. Even if you like it and if it sounds nice and it's blah blah blah, this is all philosophy. There's no room for that in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ read the Quran over 23 years. Sah? He never, never, and we challenge anyone to bring a single evidence from Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Abu Dawud, any hadith, even da'if, you won't even find. Any time Prophet ﷺ saying, صدق الله العظيم, you won't find it because it didn't exist. People, you know, they get this ayah, قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهِ, say Allah said the truth. So now every time they finish the Quran, they want to bring this ayah and apply it in this context. You cannot say that. And you don't have the right to do that. Because for example, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And Allah also commanded us. Now can you do the salam after every ibadah? The salat and salam? Can you? Can you break your fast and say, Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad? You have to say, why? Because Allah said in the Quran, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Say, akhi, this is a general command. You cannot come and bring it here, and every time you break your fast, you add this. Because you're now specifying a general command. Same thing with this sadaqallahu al-azim. It's not part of our deen. And, you know, never say it. And never let anyone around you say it either if you're able to do so. But be careful, you may be risking your life in some of these Muslim countries. If you say to someone this is a bid'ah, then you may never see that masjid again. But anyways, that's besides the point. Inshallah, Allah will protect you. Now why was he called Siddiq again? From what Siddiq we said? Truth. He was called Siddiq Musaddiq because he believes. He believes. Wasadiq, and he is truthful. So in terms of what information he receives, he believes. And the information he releases, he's truthful. MashaAllah. Beautiful, beautiful quality. فَهُوَ قَدْ عُلِمَ صِدْقَهُ أَوْ صِدْقُهُ فَلَا حَاجَةُ إِلَى اخْتِبَارِهِ. So his truthfulness is so evident that there's no need for him to be even questioned. لِأَنَّ الْاخْتِبَارِ لِمَنْ يُشَكْ فِيهِ. Because this is only concerning those who you may be doubtful about. هَلْ هُوَ صَادِقٌ أَوْ كَاذِبٌ. Is that person truthful or is he lying? أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَ صَادِقًا فَلَا حَاجَةً لِتَدْعُوا لِسُؤَالِهِ. But if someone is known for being truthful, there is no need to inquire and question whether he was being honest or whether he's lying. وَذَهَبَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِلَى أَنَّهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ لِعُمُومِ الْأَدِلَّةِ. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. Some of the scholars, however, said that they will be questioned, even the Siddiqeen, they will be questioned because of the general meaning of the text, and Allah knows best. Yani this is an issue which the scholars have differed concerning. ثالثاً وَأَمَّا الشُّهَدَاءَ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُسْأَلُونَ لِظُهُورِ صِدْقِ إِيمَانِهِمْ بِجِهَادِهِمْ. Again, those who have died, who were killed while fighting in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal, they will not be questioned because of the evidence or the evident belief and the fact that they exerted themselves for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. قال الله تعالى. Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 111, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. Verily Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth that they shall have the Jannah as a reward. Yani you sacrifice your life and your wealth for the sake of Allah and you will be given Jannah as a reward. يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They fight in Allah's path and Allah's cause. فَيَقْتُلُونَ. So they kill. وَيُقْتَلُونَ. And they get killed. وَقَالَ وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. In Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 169, and do not presume that those who were killed in the cause of Allah as being dead, rather they are alive with their Lord being provided and sustained. This is the special privilege of the Mujahideen. وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَفَى بِبَارِقَةِ السُّوفِ عَلَى رَأْسِ فِتْنَةٍ. The same hadith, sufficient for them is the swinging of the swords over their head and the glittering of the swords over their head. وَإِذَا كَانَ الْمُرَابِطُ إِذَا مَاتَ أَمِنَ الْفِتَانِ لِظُهُورِ صِدْقِهِ فَهَذَا الَّذِي قُتِلَ فِي الْمَعْرَكَةِ مِثْلِهِ أَوْ أَوْلَى مِنْهُ لِأَنَّهُ بَذَلَ وَعَرَضَ رَقْبَتَهُ لِعَدُوِّ اللَّهِ إِعْلَاءً لِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ وَانْتِصَارًا لِدِينِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْأَدِلَّةِ عَلَى صِدْقِ إِيمَانِهِ. So if someone then, murabit is someone who actually remains in a strategical location, watching over the Muslims, protecting them, and looking out for a possible attack from the enemy. Okay? So they're like security guards, if we may call them. Yeah, for example, let's say the Muslims will be an expedition, they'll have their tents. Now they can't go to sleep. Can everyone go to sleep? And the enemy will come upon them while they're sleeping and kill all of them. Some people have to remain up watching for the potential attack from the enemy. This is the murabit, the one who strives in this cause. To, and Prophet ﷺ said, two eyes shall not enter the fire, will never see the fire. An eye which spends the night murabita fi sabilillah, guarding and watching in the cause of Allah, and an eye which cried from the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. These two eyes inshallah will not enter Jahannam. Then the Shaykh said also by analogy, if this person whose murabit will be protected from the fitna, then what about the one who's actually on the battlefield? On the battlefield, and he's fighting against it, he's exposing his neck to the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal in order to make Allah's word the most supreme and to give victory to his religion. This is among the greatest evidence of his truthfulness and his belief. رابعا وأما المرابطون فإنهم لا يفتنون. As for the مرابطون, they will not be exposed to this fitna. ففي صحيح مسلم, من صحيح مسلم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رباط يوم وليلة خير من صيام شهر وقيامه. الله أكبر. Doing رباط, رباط for a day and a night is better than fasting and praying the whole month. Fasting the whole day and praying the whole night. One night and day you spend guarding and protecting the Muslims from the potential attack of the enemies is better than fasting all month and praying all night for a whole month. وإن مات جرى عليه عمله الذي كان يعمله وأجري عليه رزقه وأمن الفتن. And if he dies, then whatever deed he used to do will be given to him, and so would be his sustenance, and he will be protected from the fitna. He will be protected from trials. خامسا, fifthly, الصغار والمجانين هل يفتنون أو لا يفتنون؟ The youngsters, those who die before the age of discretion. Who can tell us, Islamically, when does a boy or a girl become responsible before Allah? When does, يعني يجري عليهم القلم, يعني the pen, the angels start writing against them their wrongdoings?
Puberty.
Puberty. How, when do you know someone reached puberty? Any information on that, Sheikh?
For women, when she starts the cycle.
You gave us the easiest one, man.
Yeah.
طيب ما في مشكلة. When a lady has her menstrual cycle, obviously she's a woman. طيب.
For the men, when grow the thing, yeah, on the private parts of
the
men. Only for the men? And if
both,
a woman
both,
had... Let's put them in another fashion. So finish and then I will put them for you in a better order, inshallah. Okay, pubic hair. Well, let's call it a wet dream. A wet dream. طيب. Two. No, no, man. Some of these young boys, mashallah, it sounds like an 80-year-old man. And some old men sound, you know, soft, and that's not it. There's one more. Ajib.
Maybe the age
15
years.
15. Hey, let's put it this way. There are three signs for the boy, four for the girl. The signs are, either you get pubic hair, thick pubic hair, not the soft things that may come initially. Thick pubic hair, the wet dream, or reaching the age of 15. Whichever one comes first, then this person has reached puberty. Yani, if they get pubic hair at the age of 12, they have reached the age of discretion. If they have a wet dream at the age of 11, then they have reached the age of discretion. If they reach 15 and neither of the first two happen, then upon becoming 15, they are considered to have become of age. Now why? What is important here? Who can deduce some benefit from this issue, from the age?
Maturity.
No. We need to know our dates of birth in the Hijri calendar, ya Jama'ah.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to do it on the Gregorian calendar. According to the Gregorian calendar, today I'm 30 years old. According to the Hijri, I'm 31. And the same thing with you. But over the passage of these years, with the discrepancy between them, there's usually around a year discrepancy between your age in Hijri and your age in Miladi. That's a huge difference when it comes to 15. So if you're born 1980, and when you become 1995, you say he's 15, that's incorrect. You have to see Hijri. When did he become 15? According to the Hijri calendar. So you go to one of these Google websites, you know, Google it. Say, you know, Hijri Gregorian Converter. Right? I have it on my phone, but I'm not going to, you know, I did it on the way with some people on the bus. I was going to make money out of it, but I decided to do it for the sake of Allah. It was good business. Said, okay guys, you had a huge bus. Say, okay, you want to know when you were born in Hijri? Say, sure. Now give me the one in Miladi. I put it in my phone and it gives me the date. People started giving me their family. The whole paper, you know, the grandfather, grandson. Listen, man. 5 riyals per head, wallah, I'll leave this bus rich. But we did it, alhamdulillah, we didn't get money for it. Anyways, it's a good business if ever you want to do a business. But if not, know when you were born, your children when they were born, according to the Hijri calendar. Tayyib, it's very important. How did I get here? As usual, I went off track. So yes, and the fourth one is the menstrual cycle for women. This is strictly for the women. So the girls have 4, pubic hair,
wet dream,
15, menstrual cycle. For the boys, minus the menstrual cycle. This is how you know this person has, now his bad deeds are being written. The good deeds are always written, alhamdulillah, even before the age of discretion. Even before the age of puberty, the good deeds which the boy does, they will be written in his book of deeds. This is mercy from Allah. And we have many evidences for that. Like the woman who was doing Hajj, and she had a boy, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنَّ الْقَوْمُ Who are you? They said such and such. They said, who are you? He said, I'm the messenger of Allah. So when he said that, a woman, she raised a baby. She said, أَلِي هَذَا حَجْ Is there a Hajj for this one? He said, نَعَمْ Yes, and you will have the reward. وَلَكِ الْأَجْرِ So he affirmed that this boy will have Hajj. That means he will benefit from this Hajj. It's not the Hajj of Islam. He cannot become 15 and say, well, I don't have to do Hajj. My mom did it when I was 2 years old. Say, no, you still have to do Hajj. But the reward of that Hajj, inshallah, will be given to you. Tayyib? So the good deeds are written for them. If they read Quran, if they fast, all this, inshallah, will be for them. The evil deeds will only begin upon reaching the age of puberty, then they will start recording the evil deeds against them. This is from the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Jayyid. Then, so what do you guys think? The youngsters and the majaneen, the crazy, insane people, do you think they will be tested in the grave or not? Based on your general understanding of the textual evidences in Islam, based on the usul, do you think they will be tested in the grave or not? So far, we said, Nas, everyone will be tested. And we made an exception to the prophets. Right? And the martyrs. And the murabitun. And the siddiqun. Right? So now we have the category of two things that are close. Why the youngsters and the majaneen? Because both were used in one narration. ثلاثة رفع عنهم القلم. The pen has been lifted. Yani they're not, their deeds are not recorded. Among them is the sleeping person until he wakes up, the young boy until he reaches puberty, and the majnun hatta yafiq, until he wakes up from his insanity. So they were both mentioned in narration that their pen has been lifted. So if the pen has been lifted, meaning they're not accountable, if they die, do you think they will be asked or not?
Nothing to ask.
You think they'll be asked? Why?
There is nothing to be asked.
Nothing to be asked. Anyone else?
I came across hadith which is saying that even a young boy, he died and he was punished in the grave. I heard somewhere.
A young boy died and he was punished in the grave?
Yes.
Impossible.
He was squeezed.
The squeezing of the grave is not a punishment. We have to understand this. The squeezing, ضَمَّةُ الْقَبْرِ لَيْسَتْ عَذَابٍ. Because among, the Prophet ﷺ said about, I believe it was Hamza, or one of the Sahaba who died, he said if anyone was to be saved from the hug, if we want to call it, or the embracing of the grave, then it would have been such and such. I don't remember the name of the Sahabi.
Mu'adh ibn Jabal.
Hey. Mu'adh ibn Jabal? No, Mu'adh ibn Jabal didn't. Not Mu'adh ibn Jabal, no. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh? Wallahu a'lam, ala kulli hal. If anyone were to be saved, it would have been that particular Sahabi. But he was not punished. He died, you know, he died for the sake of Allah. He was in Jannah. And like many other Sahaba. So this is not a punishment. That embracing of the grave. This is squeezing. No one will be saved from that one. But it's not a punishment. It will not be a form of punishment. Because Allah will never punish anyone. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا For Allah to inflict a punishment or pain over you while you didn't do anything, this is impossible in the deen of Allah. This is injustice. And we know that Allah Azza wa Jal is the most just. So that act is not a punishment. As in the person who when the grave will actually tighten in on him, his ribs will intertwine. That one who will be punished in the grave will become so tight, his ribs will intertwine. They will go into each other. and he will really be squeezed. But that hugging of the grave is not a punishment. Clear? Beautiful. So the Shaykh said, قال بعض العلماء إنهم يفتنون لدخولهم في العموم. Some of the ulama said that they will be tried, they will be tested because of the general meaning. ولأنهم إذا سقط التكليف عنهم في حال الحياة فإن حال الممات تخالف حال الحياة. And the fact that they were not held accountable in the dunya does not mean that they will not be held accountable in life to come, because as we explained earlier, the lives are different. The two phases are different. But anyways, I cannot elaborate anymore because there's only 1 minute left for the adhan, and we wish to finish before the adhan of Salatul Isha. So bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, if we all remain alive and healthy, we will continue next week, same time. Try to come early, try to come, you know, pray Maghrib here if possible, unless you have work, and we will continue with our discussion on the fitna of qabr. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.